Pastor Sean has been teaching us in Hebrews, and there's some foundational verses that we go through each week, and I want to reiterate those verses for you. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, and this is what it says. Many of you, if you've been in the church for a while, I'm sure you know this one. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. And because of joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Amen. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. There is no other way to be successful in this life without keeping your eyes focused on Jesus. Life is difficult, but Jesus is our champion, right? And also Hebrews chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. This is what it says. This is our anchor verse, if you will, because this series is called Anchored, right? And this is the hope. Talking about in Jesus. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Jesus has already gone there for us, and he has become our eternal high priest in the order of Melchizedek. So, where does that leave us now? Well, we closed with Hebrews chapter 5 last week, and we have the first three verses of Hebrews chapter 6. And anytime we study the Word of God, it's imperative that we ask God to open up our hearts and open up our minds. And so I want to do that right now. I know that it seems like we pray a lot, but listen, prayer is powerful. It can open the heart and it can open the mind. And so let's do that. Father, we need you now. We need you to focus our hearts and focus our minds on your words. We need you to set the captives free. We need you to open ears and open hearts and open minds to truth. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 is the last verses that Pastor Sean read. And they really roll into this week. And the reason they roll into this week is I have to remind you that we put the chapters in the Bible. Right? When this thing was written, it was all one solid piece. And then we put chapters and verses in there so that we could find them. So Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 through 14 says this: there is much more we would like to say about this, but it is difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? God is saying you're spiritually dull and you don't seem to listen. You have been believers for so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's Word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. Essentially, what the Lord has said to us in that particular verse is that mature Christians can easily recognize the difference between right and wrong. Then he goes on to say in Hebrews 6, so let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Let us go on instead to become mature in our understanding. This is the goal for today, that you and I would become mature in our understanding of God's Word. Surely we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds and placing our faith in God. You don't need further instructions about baptisms or the laying on of hands or the resurrection of the dead or eternal judgment. And so, God willing, we will move forward to further understanding. Now, this is the piece that Pastor John gave me to preach on. And I got to tell you, there's so many different directions that you could go in this. And one of the things that I love about the Lord is that his truth runs through many, 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 almost all parts of the Bible. So you can choose something that seems completely unassociated with this scripture, and it'll actually come together pretty nice. Our mission today is to recognize the difference between right and wrong and to go and become mature in our understanding. So I want to take you to a place that records the very first murder in the world. Genesis chapter 4. Let's go to Genesis chapter 4 and let's see if we can become mature, if we can easily recognize right from wrong. And you might be sitting there thinking to yourself, well, of course we can see the difference between right and wrong when it comes to murder. But I want you to know, and I believe the Lord wants you to know, that there is much more here that meets the eye. In fact, I think what God's going to do today is he's going to reveal some things that lurk in our own hearts. And he's going to draw some things to our attention that, if left unattended, can absolutely destroy us. And let me say this too. I had to struggle with this just like you're going to. One of the best things about the Bible is that it does not leave you the same, right? When you get into the Word of God, it has the power to change you. And this is what this is going to do today. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, now Adam had sexual relations with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant, and she gave birth to Cain. Just a side note, means creator. She gave birth to Cain and said, with the Lord's help, I have produced a man. Later, she gave birth to his brother and named him Abel, means futile. When they grew up, Abel became a shepherd while Cain cultivated the ground. When it was time for the harvest, some of your translations may say when it was time, that for the harvest was added. But when it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, the best portions of the firstborn lambs from his flock. Now, the thing that you need to see just in that little bitty piece is that worship has already been taking place. These guys are grown men, and they understood that there was a time when you gave to the Lord. There was a time for worship. There was a certain way in which the worship must be conducted. So none of this is a surprise. Abel brought the best gift, brought a gift, the best portions of the firstborn lambs from his flock. And the Lord accepted Abel and his gift. But he did not accept Cain or his gift. And this made Cain very angry. He looked dejected. Why are you so angry? The Lord said to Cain. Why do you look so dejected? Literally downcast, face down. For you know that you will be accepted if you do what is right. Now, there's a lot of debate about what was the deal with the sacrifices. And I can tell you that my personal opinion is that I feel like the scripture's clear that there is something being taught here that is more than just an offering. Here's what you need to know out of this. That obedience to God is not negotiable. Obedience to God is not negotiable. In other words, he's God. He gets to determine how we worship him. So what we see is that Cain was not accepted because his worship was wrong and he knew better. And I believe that it has to do with the type of offering. All through Scripture, we see very clearly, we see verses like Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness. God actually did the first animal sacrifice in the Bible. Do you realize that? For when Adam and Eve sinned, they realized that they were naked and they sewed fig leaves together. But God, after he pronounced whatever type of punishment that they would receive, the scripture says he took animal skins and they wore them as garments. The whole purpose of the old system, the sacrificial system, is that the wages of sin is death. And Adam and Eve, Adam especially, who had been required to name all the animals in the garden, was now wearing one of those animals that he named. And it was a reminder that the wages of sin is death. It's a very powerful reminder. So whenever Cain brings some vegetables, and not even the best of his vegetables, you can see where God would say, this is not acceptable. But when Abel brings the right thing, not only did he bring a blood sacrifice, but he brought the best of the blood sacrifice. God determines how we worship him. Obedience to God is non-negotiable, right? And God says it clearly. He says to Cain, don't you know that if you do what's right, you will be accepted? I hope that every person in this room hears this today, because some of you feel like that you can't be forgiven for what you've done. And here's the voice of God saying, you're so wrong. You are so wrong. God has full knowledge of what's going to happen between Cain and his brother. And he's telling him right now, today's the day. Don't you do this. Do what is right. You will be forgiven. You will be accepted. But if you refuse to do what is right, watch out. For sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you. Literally, in the Hebrew, destroy you. But you must subdue it and be its master. Listen, as Christians, you know how we subdue sin? It is so simple. You subdue sin by confessing it, repenting of it, and being reconciled to whoever you need to be reconciled to, whether it be God or another brother and sister in Christ or that pagan that lives across the street. You hear me? Confession, repentance, reconciliation is the way of every child of God. And here's what you can do today. This is point number two. Point number two is you can resolve now to resolve the conflict in your life. You can resolve right now to resolve the conflict in your life. My parents taught me, don't go to bed with anger in your heart. In other words, don't let the sun set on your anger is what the Bible says. And that was mainly said when I got married at age 20. She was 18. And let me tell you, there's been a lot of nights we stayed up till 3. And the magic of 3 o'clock in the morning is that you'll be so tired, you'll be ready to negotiate any deal that's on the table. Right? But it's such a good way to live. Because here's what happens. When you nurture your resentment, it turns into anger. And when it turns into anger, it turns into hatred. And Jesus says, if you hate in your heart, you're already a murderer. Let it go. Let it go. And I'm a natural born fighter. I just like it. Right? Back me in the corner. I've already accepted I'm going to get my tail beat, but we're going down with a fight. Right? So a person with my kind of personality has to really buy into this. Resolve it now. Resolve it now before something horrible happens. Verse 8. One day, Cain suggested to his brother. Now, it's been several days since the offering, right? It's been several days since he was ticked off. And Cain, and process this with this fact. The fact that God had already went to Cain with full knowledge of what Cain was going to do. And he says, don't do this. One day, Cain suggested to his brother, let's go out into the fields. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and he killed him. Literally in the Hebrew, the word for murder or kill is also translated sacrificed. And that was huge for me when I was studying this, because it was almost as if Cain looked up at God, shook his fist, and he said, you want a blood sacrifice? I'll give you a blood sacrifice. And he attacked his brother and he killed him. Now this is the third thing that I want you to pay attention to. This is my third fact that I wish I had for you, but our relationship with God affects everything. Our relationship with God affects everything. And here's why. We clearly see that Cain's beef was with God. It wasn't with Abel, his brother. From verses, I believe it's 8 through 11, the word brother is used 6 times. You know why? Because it's a reminder of how evil and mean this sin was. Here's a younger brother, a brother who by his name sounds like he's a weaker child. And I say child, these are grown men. And he attacks him and he kills him because of his relationship with God. Is that not just bizarre? What it does is it shows the power of hatred, of resentment that hasn't been dealt with in the heart. A little side note here for you, and this has just been my experience walking with the Lord. If you choose to walk in the way of righteousness, unrighteous people will hate you. If you choose to walk with the Lord in His righteous ways, unrighteous people will hate you. Because you're a reminder that there's a better way, and they have chose to shake their fist in the living God's face. Verse 9, afterward, the Lord asked Cain, "Where is your brother? Where is Abel?" "I don't know," Cain responds. "Am I my brother's guardian?" Many of you remember it as, "Am I my brother's keeper?" My next point is that unresolved sin corrupts everything. Unresolved sin corrupts everything, right? And when you leave a sin unresolved, it only makes you more susceptible to even more sin. Because what did he do here? He lied to God. "Are you kidding me? I don't know where my brother is." Ridiculous thing to say to God. Ridiculous. Because God knows exactly where his brother is, and so does Cain. But the Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground." Blood is very precious to God. Very precious to God. You should do a study on blood in the Bible. It is amazing how precious it is. Verse 11 says, "You are cursed and banished from the ground which has swallowed your brother's blood. No longer will the ground yield good crops for you, no matter how hard you work. From now on, you will be a homeless wanderer in all the earth." Now, as we move into this next few verses, I want you to hear Cain's heart. I want you to hear what he's saying, but I want you to hear his heart, because his heart is going to say something even more sinister, even deeper than what his mouth is going to say. Cain replied to the Lord, "My punishment is too great for me to bear. You have banished me from the land and from your presence." Not true. But sin always distorts the word of God. "You have made me a homeless wanderer. You, God, are responsible for my bad behavior. It's your fault that I am a homeless wanderer." The same God that came to him and said, "Don't do this." And it's God's fault. That's Cain's stance. Adam did the same thing. When Eve gave him the fruit, he could have not eaten it. But when God confronted him, what did he say? "Well, this woman that you gave it to me." And of course, when he confronted Eve, he said, "The snake made me do it." Listen, if you refuse to repent of your sin, you will remain unforgiven. And you will be in conflict with the greatest thing in your life, and that is God. And let me say this about sin. The only sin that cannot be forgiven, the only sin that cannot be forgiven, is the one you refuse to repent of. The only sin that you cannot be forgiven of is the sin you refuse to repent of. And I know some of you are sitting there going, "What about blasphemy of the Holy Spirit?" Well, what is that? That is when you reject the message of the Holy Spirit. And the message of the Holy Spirit is that you can be forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? So therefore, the only sin that you cannot be forgiven of is the only one that you refuse to repent of. And that's powerful. That will set you free. Anyone who finds me, Cain says, will kill me. There is not an ounce of repentance in his heart. God is to blame for making him a homeless wanderer, right? He cares nothing about what he's done to Abel's family or even his mother and his daddy. Can you think of a crime that would be more difficult to deal with as a parent than to have two children that you love and one of them kill the other one? Sin makes you self-centered. Verse 15, the Lord replied, "No, for I will give a seven-fold punishment to anyone who kills you." Listen to the grace and the mercy of God. I'm going to tell you something. If I am God in this moment, that dude is getting fried. Right? You killed your brother, then you lied about it, now you want to blame me? Boom! Listen, that sends a loud and clear message to everybody about the kind of God I would be. But this God says, I have grace and mercy even for the stubborn murderer. That's why he's much better at being a God than me. The Lord replied, "No, I will give a sevenfold punishment for anyone who kills you." And then the Lord put a mark on Cain to warn anyone who might try to kill him. So Cain left the Lord's presence and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Listen to me. I don't know that there is a sadder sentence in the Bible than to hear when someone leaves the presence of God. No one. Cain left the Lord's presence. You leave the Lord's presence and there's no hope for you. The wolves will come after you. So let's think about what we've learned today, because the whole point of this was to eat solid food. The whole point of this was to get to a point to where we are mature in the faith. Number one, we learned that obedience with God is non-negotiable. Yes, God is loving, and he is kind, and he is just. And what that means is God will not sacrifice one of his attributes for another. In other words, he is not going to love your sin so much that there can't be justice for it. And the justice for your sin is that blood has to be shed. Now, here's the deal. You can believe in Jesus Christ, and vicariously, your sin will be dealt with through the blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness. Or you can reject God, you can leave the presence of God, and your own blood will pay your own penalty. That's just truth. And that might sound harsh. You might be sitting there today going, "Oh, so this is it. Your God sure is a harsh God." But listen, this is no more difficult to accept than a billionaire walking in and saying, "I'm going to give you all of my money. All you have to do is receive it." Because that's exactly what God has done with Jesus Christ. Call upon the name of the Lord, right? Believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, right? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever trusts in him would not perish but have eternal life." At some point, you've got to believe that God is telling you the truth. And I know that you're a pretty messed up person, because I'm a pretty messed up person. We're all messed up and we all got sin that there's no way God can forgive you. But let me remind you that the only sin that you can't be forgiven of is the one that you refuse to confess. And Jesus stands before you today and he's saying, "All you got to do is trust in me. I've already paid the penalty." Number two, our relationship with God affects everything. And here's what that means. The quality of our horizontal relationships depends entirely upon having a good vertical relationship. You got me? The quality of our horizontal relationships, as everybody around you, depends on that vertical relationship with God the Father. And listen, he's not mad, by the way. Can you see how he deals with someone who murders his brother? He still shows him grace and mercy, but justice was still served. Cain's beef was with God, not Abel. But because his relationship with God was so messed up, he took it out on a horizontal relationship with his brother. Number three, unresolved sin corrupts everything. Unresolved sin corrupts everything. Leaving sin unresolved makes you more vulnerable to more sin. And what we learn in this moment is that it's never too late to start doing the right thing. Even after Cain had killed Abel, God comes to him. He says, "Where's your brother?" And in that moment, Cain could have thrown himself at the feet of God and said, "This is what I did in a moment of passion, in a moment of stupidity. I killed him. And I want to be forgiven." And God would have forgiven him because that's the nature of God. But instead, he blamed God. He cried out against God, and he walked away from God. Now, a little side note here. You've got to own your own sin. You hear me? You've got to own your own sin. Stop blaming your parents. Stop blaming your boss. Stop blaming your best friend. You are responsible for your sin. The moment you discover that what you're doing is sin is the moment it is yours. God's not going to give you a mulligan on that. I just get so frustrated over people who can't move on in life because they want to continue to blame their past while it's wrecking their future and their present is just a disaster. God wants to set you free from that. And certainly as we read the Bible, we see where he changes people's lives in an instant. And he is ready and willing to do it for you. There is power in the blood of Jesus. And there is power in prayer. And it can be done. Number four. Today, right now, you need to resolve now to resolve conflict. Right now, you need to decide in your own heart that you need to resolve conflict in your life. Right? Don't let the sun set on your anger, especially with your spouse. Amen? Amen. But if you nurture your resentment, it will sprout into anger, and anger leads to hatred, and hatred leads to murder. Don't you be fooled. Cain nurtured his resentment, and it turned into murder. And number five, unresolved sin hardens your heart. What we all need to understand is that secret sin here on earth is an open scandal in heaven. Secret sin here on earth is an open scandal in heaven. There is no secrets with God, right? Cain and Judas were sorry that they got caught. They never repented, and their hearts were hardened because they refused to resolve their sin. So let's close where we started. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 6 and see how all of this applies to what the writer of Hebrews was trying to convey. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. So let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Hey, here's what you need to know. God is good, he is kind, but he is just, and he will not sacrifice one attribute for another. Let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. I hope today that you stepped it up a little bit. I hope today that God used me as an instrument to motivate you, to challenge you, to grow in maturity in Christ. Because this stuff will destroy you. Surely we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds. Amen? Why? Because sin is crouching at the door and it is ready to destroy you. That's why. And the placing of our faith in God. Hear the voice of God when he says, if you do what is right, you will be accepted. No exceptions. There's not anybody in this room that I won't forgive. Verse 2. You don't need further instructions about baptisms, laying on hands. Why? Because God has determined how he will be worshipped. There are clear instructions about church attendance, about what you do with your finances, about how you live your life, about baptisms, about how you pray for the sick or pray for those in need. All of these things have been made very clear. God says, this is how you worship. You don't need further instruction about baptisms, laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, or eternal judgment. Listen to me. Death is not the end. It's not. You're either going to be eternally judged and separated from God in a place of torment, or you're going to experience a new body. Resurrection that is so sweet that we can't even imagine it. And so, God willing, we will move forward to further our understanding. The worship team is going to come forward, and I want to just take this moment. I want to pray over you, because here's what I know. Some people come into this place, and they just really don't know what to expect. They don't understand what this Jesus is all about. They don't have a clue why we sing. They don't understand why week in and week out we are here giving and serving and doing. And here's what it's all about if you don't understand that stuff. We have discovered something, someone so wonderful, so precious, so pure, so holy, so powerful that we can be forgiven. We can be set free. And it's right here at your fingertips today. So would you bow your heads and just let me pray. And I'm gonna say a little prayer. And as I pray, I want you to raise your hand if you want me to pray for you, because I know you're struggling. I know you're struggling with anger and resentment. There's some people who have really hurt you. And today's the day you can just let it go. Before it destroys you, before it destroys your family, before it destroys your future. And you can allow God's healing words to come over you, because what he wants you to know is that it can't be fixed. Father, we love you. And I love the fact that your heart just pours out over this piece of scripture. We see something that is so horrible, like a murder. And right now, there's people in this room who just need you to set them free. Lord, would you give them the courage to right now confess, to repent, and be reconciled, not only to you, but to whoever they need to be reconciled to. Will you set them free? And would you use this moment to write a new future, a future where they live in your presence and are accepted by the living God. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing for these people. Thank you for what you're doing for me. And I pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.